Well, thank, I guess I call the women of praise for leading us in the ministry of music this morning. Robert, you want to cut off and pull the mic so we can come back on that. And thank for leading us in prayer. Jeanette for reading the word as long as she can read it. And I also want to thank Paul and Robert DeBoer for being with us to make sure technology is in place. Let us pray. Almighty God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for every opportunity we have to praise your name. We thank you for the songs, the prayers, the reading of your holy word, but now comes the preaching on. And so, Lord, I have to call on you as always. I do, because it's not about me. It's about you. So, Lord, you know my weaknesses. You know I'm a sinner, but thank God I'm a sinner saved by grace. And because all of us are sinners, we have things that are destructive in our inner being. So whatever it might be right now, oh Lord, I ask you to move it, no matter how painful it might be, so that if this will be your word, not my word. Give me, as always, that clarity of sight of mind and of speech, so that this word might be plain. And then, oh Lord, as always, I call on you to give me strength. And I'm going to stand on the promise that because you've done it before, you can do it again. We give you all honor and praise. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to tell you that text, a bad choice. A bad choice. You know, life is full of choices. The fact that you've taken the time to worship God for just one of the 168 hours of this week is a choice. Think about that. 168 hours, and we're just giving God, who gives us everything, one. But just as you made that choice, think of how many people you know who made the opposite choice. Sometimes because of the things that some Christians say or do. You know, reading a book talking about God talking, how, you know, Christians, instead of empowering people, instead of lifting people up, we kill people and slay people with the very word of God. But then I must ask, how do we handle that choice when God has been so good to all of us? Because for 2 minutes, others not worshiping God doesn't matter. But we are called to be disciples. We have been commanded to share the good news, sadly, for church folk. It doesn't matter. As long as the choir sings the song, we want the choir to sing. It doesn't matter as long as the pastor tickles my ears. Don't get me wrong about what I'm going to say, because I am old. And there's nothing wrong with an individual getting old. In fact, I consider it a blessing to have lived for 73 years. But when it comes to the church, when the demographics keep getting older, a church dies. Dies when we don't care and the focus is on us. See, the church needs to reach out to the young and the old. Not only that, because of COVID-19, because so many are content, it's been predicted that 1 out of 5 churches won't make it through COVID-19. Lord, please let us make it. And our choice is just part about worship. I'm a pharmacist, so you know I'm going to talk about the choices we make when it comes to our health. I know some are going to switch to a feel-good sermon right now, but how's a feel-good sermon going to make your life better? But Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. See, not only that, in the first chapter of Genesis, we are told what to eat. But how many of us make choices when it comes to what we eat? Eat stuff that masquerades as food. Loaded with sugar, loaded with salt, loaded with chemicals, the names of which we cannot pronounce. So, you know, we end up with the high blood pressure. We end up with the diabetes, the diseases that lead to heart attack, stroke, kidney failure, blindness, and amputation. Last Sunday, I preached about the 10 commandments, but go back to the garden in Genesis. Was the first commandment was to work or to move. Yes, God wants us to exercise. You know, I got to touch on finances. I know we don't have the best job. A lot of times we have to pay more for the things we need, and then we make bad choices when it comes to the little money we have or we don't have. You know, that's the one we put on the credit card. And always remember, it's not about how much you make. It's what you do with the money that you make. Amen. Like, preach on, Pastor Ed. See, we don't need everything we see. We don't have to prove to others how much we got. We give financial peace when we first moved into this building. Well, with the economy being the way it is, I think it's time to do it again. Now, I know I've upset people, so let's move on to the text. Last Sunday, I preached on the Ten Commandments, not as laws, but as an instruction for building community. And between chapter 20 last Sunday and chapter 32 this morning, God has given Moses a ton of instructions. Instructions on how that community should function. Instructions about worship. Instructions about human balance. Instructions about social and religious matters. Sabbath and festivals. Instructions on the worship space. Normally, I didn't say building, but space, because the space moved when God moved. See, God gave Moses a lot of instructions, and I admit I probably would have gotten impatient for having so many instructions for people. I've been called out for missing one thing in the order of worship. Moses had been gone so long. The people thought that Moses had spent more time with God than they thought was necessary. Now that's messed up. See, instead of thinking that people should pray that their pastor spends a whole lot of time with God. Because see, every time a pastor stands up to preach, he or she is putting somebody's soul in his or her hands. And if you do that, you better spend a lot of time with God. Stop playing, joking. You know, somebody might be ready to take their life, and you playing, have a talk with God, so God will tell you what to say when you get up on Sunday morning. But when people get impatient, we made, these people made, a bad choice. Well, they lived in a different world. World with a few places to go. World with a few things to do. But let me tell you something. Never let somebody rush you into making a decision. And never feel like you had to do something yesterday. Don't be impatient, even though I admit I can be very impatient. Most of the time it's about follow-up or when people don't take things seriously. But I can't tell you how many times that I've been thankful for taking my time and not becoming impatient. Check out the people in the text. They are saying to each other, Moses is taking a lot of time coming down from the mountain. And because they were afraid of God, because they did not want to talk to God, check out the end of chapter 20. No one, not even Moses' brother Aaron, thought enough to go and check on Moses. And the statement they made to Aaron, who had been with Moses a long time, Aaron, who had seen God at work, Aaron, who knew that God had led those people each and every step of the way, they had the nerve to tell Aaron, come on, man, make us gods who can lead us. And that one statement shows how much culture can influence even our religious beliefs. But even though they had seen God work, because the Egyptians had many gods, they felt that they needed more than one God also. And I got to say it, for it happens too many times in this land. Culture influences how we see God. And the loudest Christian voices sometimes have us question our faith. I know y'all seen posts on Facebook, folk claim they so holy and whatnot, telling you how wrong you are. Got you questioning whether you believe in the right thing. And see, that's why we need to read the Bible with fresh eyes every time we open it and let God meet us where we are, not where somebody else says we need to be. Listen to how they speak of Moses, the one who brought us out of Egypt to this desolate, no good, nasty place. We don't have a clue what's happened to him. And when I consider the new next few verses, I have to ask the question, can something you made guide you? Something you made. Something somebody else made. Something that someone can take from you, or more importantly, something that God can take from you. Well, I know people always told me when I was growing up to guard your heart. But you know, it seems like today people are lacking hearts. You know, they get a relationship. No, it don't mean nothing. You know, it's just a fling and everything. But whether or not you have that emotional heart, be careful where you place your trust. Now remember, when they were in Egypt, they were slaves with next to nothing. When they left, Moses told them to ask for silver and gold as well as their clothing. And the same God that they were turning their backs on made sure the Egyptians were kind to them. See, that shows people never change. But they had a short memory when it came to God, just like people have a short memory today. See, we can praise God when God gets us off of our sick bed. We can praise God when God opens up doors or windows. But just let things change up a little bit and be ready to find another God. Aaron tells him, take the gold from your wives, your sons, and your daughters. Moses, he didn't tell them to give them the gold and bring them to me. And they were so eager to get a God that they could control that they took off all the gold rings that God had helped them attain. Remember, God made the Egyptians give it over. They didn't have it. The only reason they had it was because of God, and they gave the earth. And see, it shows me as I've seen it in real life, when you don't have an investment in your stuff, you have no problem giving it away. See, that's the case with my family too. You know, the case with too many of our families. I said about my own, we let the land that our grandparents and our great-grandparents worked for day and night, and we let it get away for pennies on a dollar. Amen. I'm going to preach on it. Aaron collected the gold and tied it up in a cloth. Then he made a metal image of a bull calf. And the people declared, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Text said, Aaron made a metal image of a bull calf. One God, but they said, your gods. I thought, they said, make a God with no S. But now it wasn't with the S. But I guess Aaron was going to make some miniatures for each one so they could carry around that God for themselves. That would even work. And then, was Aaron being sarcastic? But Aaron had just made their God, but there was no way that God could have brought him up. You know, we have a way of changing up things. We give other people credit. We give ourselves credit when only what God did is what God is capable of doing. See, give God glory, honor, and praise for what God has done. And then Aaron built an altar. Aaron announced that it would be a festival to the Lord. See, I think Aaron was called himself, you know, give himself some cover. They had the calf, but the sacrifice was going to still be for the Lord by saying, you know, the bull was just an image of God. However, when God gave the commands, God said, do not make an idol for yourself. Do not bow down them to them or worship them. God said it and mean it. And I don't care what's in your life, how much you love it, how much control it has over you. There is only one God, and we need to stop bowing down and worshiping things that don't do a thing for us. They said the next day, and I know probably some of them came out during the night to take a look at their God and check it out. Gold, all shiny, everything, all big and impressive. Well, a few chapters earlier, this is to show you that they won't come out and look at this God, talking about this God. But in chapter 20, they didn't even want to talk to God. The Bible says we are made in the image of God. But too many of us have made God in our own image. Not only in our image, but a God that we can tell what to say, and a God we can tell what to do. And see, there's no way a God like that can guide us. We're guiding that God. We need a God who knows all, a God who sees all, a God who has all power. The text said they opened up an entirely burnt offering. Got one of the calves, put them on the altar, burned them up, you know. They brought a well thing on. And then they said the people sat down to eat and drink. And then you know, say, what was it? If they were drinking, the Egyptian must have put some wine in there with the gold and the clothes, you know. And if they got ready to celebrate, they were going to throw down. They were going to have a funky good time. Because they did exactly what God said not to do, we were about to see the fury of God. You know, modern day Christians, we like to focus on the post-resurrection Jesus. We like to focus on the letters of the New Testament. That's one of the reasons why the church of today lacks the power of the early church. But the only Bible the early church had was the Old Testament. The Old Testament, which showed the wrath of God. The Old Testament and the oral story of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We painted this picture of Jesus as holy, meek, and mild. We count on the fact that since Jesus paid it all, we can give a pass on what we say and do. And because we joined the church, when we get on the train to glory, we got our ticket. Just because we signed our names on the road. Well, God is still passionate. And if we push God, God will show God's wrath. God tells Moses, hurry up and go down. Your people, God had given up on them, on his people no more. They were Moses' people. The people whom you brought, Moses, no, he didn't bring them up. God brought them up. But God said, the people you brought up out of the land of Egypt are ruining everything. I guess God is just frustrated. But I pray that God will never tell me the people of New Hope Fellowship are messing up everything. See, God didn't tell Moses what has happened. They've abandoned the path that I commanded. God gave them a path to become true community, and they were messing it up. They had made a metal bull for themselves. See, I don't care what you think. God knows everything that we are doing. They bowed down to it. They offered sacrifices. All of us need to check ourselves. For God is the only one we should be bowing down to. See, check your heart, because even though your hands may not be bowing, your bird inner being could be bowing to a whole lot of things. But I can hear God when God, I can feel God when God repeats their chants. These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When God heard their cries, when God hardened Pharaoh's heart, when God made a highway on dry ground in the Red Sea, when God gave them food to eat, when God poured water out of a rock, see, whatever your circumstance in life, never forget what God has done for you, and never give anything or anybody credit for what God has done. God says something I don't think many people understand. I've been watching these people and I see how stubborn they are. And let's just be honest. Let's tell the truth and shame the devil. At home, at work, at play, even up in God's house, we can be some stubborn people. God then shows how passionate God is. God God tells Moses, leave me alone. Like what you said, go away. Let my fury burn and devour them. See, God was going to destroy them. God was going to burn them up. And then God tells Moses, I'll make a great nation out of you. Moses had to be on the far side of 80, maybe 90, 100. Seems impossible that God would start all over again, but God can do anything that God wants to. God is ready to act. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God. That's important because the people might have turned from God, but Moses held fast to God. Let other people turn, but you need to keep on holding on to God. Moses says, why does your fury burn against your own people? Moses turned things around because God had called them Moses' people. The people you brought out of Israel, no matter what they say, you brought them out with great power and amazing force. And I love this part because Moses tells God what God already knows. But what God has done was known far and wide. Remember, 40 years after he got out, when he got to Jericho, folk was still talking about what God has done. Why should the Egyptians say God had an evil plan to take the people out and kill them in the mountains and so wipe them off the face of the earth? And New Hope Fellowship, the Lord has brought us out. We were talked about and laughed at. Never do anything that would have God's wrath burn up on us so that people would say, God sent them to Hartville to destroy them. See, Moses had to have a relationship with God. Well, Moses was able to tell God and let many of us calm down your fierce hands. Change your mind about the terrible things you're going to do to your own people. And I'm so glad this morning that in addition to being passionate, the God that we serve is compassionate. But the Lord changed his mind about the terrible things that God said that God would do to God's people. And God showed that same compassion to you. God showed that same compassion to me. God has showed that same compassion for every human that ever has, that is, and that will ever walk on this earth. Show compassion to sinners who deserve the fury of God, just like the people in the text. But we've fallen short. We've done things that were not pleasing to God. But God showed compassion by putting on human flesh. And even though God didn't have to, God stepped down from glory, stepped down and didn't have a place to lay his head, stepped down and spent his time with folks that other people didn't care about, stepped down and spent time with people that other folks looked down on and kicked to the curb. And after healing the sick, after feeding 5,000, after raising the dead, after calming the raging sea, after challenging the political and religious orders, they convicted him in a court where he had no rights, and condemned him to the same type of death by the state that so many of our brothers had to endure. But because he was God, he could climb up Calvary's hill. And I think about that show I heard the other night. When that man came in, his heart was broken. He didn't want to talk to anybody. But Brian Stevenson told, I came to tell you that an execution date hasn't been set for you. He said, say that again for me one more time. He said, your execution date has not been set. He said, I thank you because that means that my wife can come, my mother can come, my children can come. He was having a good time. But just like they roughed up Jesus, the prison guards came in there, threw him up against the wall, knocked him all around. But when that brother was being abused and put around by those prison guards just for having a little joy in his life, that brother began to sing, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on high ground. And when you face choices, when you feel a little weak, don't only ask the Lord to pick you up, but ask the Lord to plant your feet on high ground. Because Jesus hung on that cross. Jesus died on that cross. And then God got Jesus up with all power. Don't worship other gods. Share Jesus with others. No matter how bad things might get, remember what God has done. Know that God is working right now. And give God a praise in advance for what God is going to do. Learn from your bad choices. So that when it comes to God, the God who has done so much for all of us, you will, I will, none of us ever will make a bad choice when it comes to God. Amen, amen, and amen. We symbolically open the doors of New Hope Fellowship.